Welcome to week two. My name is Lauren Bell, and it's an honor to be with you, and I'm very humbled. So this week, we began with our dear friend David, and began to look at when anxiety attacks our security, that Jesus is our shield. David is called a man after God's heart, and I have begun asking myself, when I am hit with anxiety, what am I after? And it's a good question for all of us to consider as we encounter anxieties of many kinds. What are we after? And for me, when I get truly raw and real with myself, I have been and sometimes still am after safety and security. And there are good reasons for this. My childhood was anything but secure. I lived in a home that felt like at any time it could combust. There was a lot of walking on eggshells, and depression and anxiety lived right down the hall from me. I don't remember ever feeling like a little girl. My job, I thought, was to hold it all together, hold them together. Don't disturb the beehive. Make it better. Make yourself appeasing and small. And even when it was seemingly good and secure, I just remember holding my breath and waiting for the next shoe to drop. And as I got older, I made promises, vows to myself that I would never let this happen to me. I would never let myself become depressed or anxious. When I'm a wife, when I'm a mother, our lives will be different. Our home would be God-honoring, safe, and secure. I have loved Jesus for 30 years, and I was blessed to grow up in church. I met my husband when we were 14, and we were best friends from then on. Well, I was friends, he was not friends. It took me 7 years to get on the love train, but during those years, we spent our years as worship leaders, and eventually he went on to be a pastor at our church. He was the best person I knew, and when I finally married him, I walked down that aisle with absolutely no doubts. It was the first time in my life that I felt truly safe and secure. And the first 5 years of our marriage were truly everything I could have dreamt of. And honestly, it was more. We then welcomed our first two kids, Eden and Asher, and life just felt like a dream. Seemingly out of nowhere, my husband was suddenly hit with a bout of depression, and my secure, unwavering guide seemed to change overnight. It felt like my feet came up from under me. And around that same time, we began what I did not know was going to be an ongoing fight with chronic illness that left him in pain and sometimes debilitated. While we were on sabbatical, we had heard from the Lord that it was time for a new start. So we left the only church family that I had known and been a part of for 21 years. And the stable ground underneath my feet felt like it was shaking. And I started back into my old ways. Lauren, keep it together. Some time passed, and my husband's illness seemed to have resolved, and we had two more beautiful babies, Isaiah and Jordan. We found this incredible church reality. But as the Sundays arrived, I found myself coming mostly alone with four kids under nine. And after attending our church for some time, I started realizing that they call this church reality for a reason. I got a mentor, Leanne, and she asked me to send her like a little recap of like what was going on in my life. And I sent her the prettiest version possible. And she simply sent back this: is there anything else? It's rude. So as my heart dropped into my stomach, it was like she could see the facade I was wearing. And as I sat there, the blinking line on my screen, trying to respond, I realized that I had a decision to make. I could trust the Lord and get real about how not okay I was, which was terrifying. Or I could sorry. Or I could keep up the exhausting task of keeping it all together, keeping myself, quote unquote, safe. I knew the truth would cost me, and I would have to accept the insecurity. So I sent her the real email. And together, we began the work of showing up real and differently and more honest than I had ever been. It was so scary and so painful and so freeing. I finally had to put my shield down, open up my coat and be seen, own my mistakes, the hurt, and the whole of my story. I still had a long way to go in lowering my shield fully, it seemed, because in the middle of it all, my mother got stage 3 cancer, my father-in-law got stage 4 cancer, and along with the fear of the future of my parents, I had now lost any outside support I had in raising my 4 children. Tragedy after tragedy came one behind the other, and my husband's chronic illness would pop up some new symptom that we had no idea how to deal with. 2020 happened, and my ground became more and more unstable, and feelings from my childhood began to creep in, and I began to take up my fleshly shield once again. And for a long time, I was like, I am woman, hear me roar, I have got this. My strategy was to keep showing up, do all the right things, try to make it better, soften the blow of my life, and absorb it all, because it can't last forever. But as the years went on, I became disillusioned, angry, disappointed, lonely, sad, and utterly hopeless. I wanted my husband back. I wanted life the way it used to be. I was holding on to everything so tightly so that it wouldn't fall apart, that I wouldn't fall apart. I had made that promise to myself, and I was dead set on making sure that my life was not going to look like what it was before. I was holding on for dear life, and I suddenly found my mind and my heart and my life slipping. I started feeling those physical symptoms of anxiety, and I knew something was wrong, but I just chose to ignore it, speed up, keep going, because if I just kept moving, it would be better. The alternative of breaking might just break me. And then the day came where anxiety and overwhelm overtook me completely. I found myself in the corner of my couch, unable to move, and I could not stop shaking. And I couldn't believe, like, this was not happening to me. Like, pull it together. And I could not move. And it felt like a nightmare. I mean, I had 4 little people that needed me. I couldn't fall apart. And that's when the dam burst. I was so angry, God. And I decided I was gonna let him know it. How could you leave me like this? You've abandoned me. I have asked you for help. You are nowhere to be found. Heal him, save me, give me a breadcrumb of hope, but nope, the bad just keeps on coming. Like, do you see the laundry explosion in my laundry room? It's a real thing, you guys know. I am exhausted, and I have done my part. I've kept my 4 kids in church, I'm being mentored, I'm in Bible study. If you're good, I don't see it. What else do you want from me? And that's exactly what he wanted from me. He wanted all of me. All the things that I choose to ignore because they felt so ugly and wrong. The things I could not confess because the overwhelm might just settle in and consume me, unsettle me, or make it sink in how truly unsafe I felt in my own life. And the truth is, I had stopped praying, I had stopped worshiping, and I had stopped believing that he was gonna come through for me. That's when I heard him. Firm and loving all at the same time. I am the lifter of your head. I am the lifter of your head. And I had to look up the verse because I wasn't sure if it was a verse. And it led me to Psalm 3:3, which was our theme verse. If you opened up the book, you probably saw it. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. And in that moment, I felt like the Lord had taken my head and my head in his hands and so lovingly asked me to look at him. I was so busy looking at the arrows flying around me, trying to dodge them, that I had forgotten that I had already had a better and more perfect shield of protection just begging me to look at him. When I lifted my head, I saw my piano. And I sat down and I sang the first words of the song that came to me. They happened to be the exact words that my soul needed. All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I'll sing of the goodness of God. And I sang it over and over and over again until I started to believe him again. He brought me exactly to where he wanted me, surrendered and honest, and looking at him instead of looking at my life, he brought me to worship. You know, it is not lost on me that when I was asked to give a testimony during David Week, that I opened up the book and saw the theme verse. And I was like, Leanne, look at my testimony. I'm like, look at the verse. God was winking at me and at us, I think, because I believe he wanted me to bring this to you today. He's so good like that. And this week, as we looked at anxious circumstances in David's life, such as betrayal, being on a run from a king who was trying to kill him. His life was not going as planned. He acted a little crazy. We see David work out what he was ultimately after, which was God's heart. And first, like David, we have to get real with ourselves, with each other, but mostly with Jesus. See, 70% of the Psalms are Psalms of lament, and many of them are sung. And isn't that such a sweet gift from God that he allows us to be gutted, that we have permission to not be okay? David says things like Psalm 6:3, my soul is in deep anguish. How long, O Lord? Psalm 38:9-10, O Lord, all of my soul and longing is before you. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart throbs, my strength fails, and the light has gone from my eyes. Sounds like anxiety to me. Psalm 10:1, Lord, why do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? And some of us are there now. Some of us feel abandoned, dismayed, and unable to carry the load or fight off one more arrow. Some of us have put up our own shields of protection. Our shields might be our tribe of girlfriends, our beautiful home, our Instagram perfect family, our amazing husbands, our money, our job, our kids, our womanly grit, the facades that we carry. I'm guilty of them all. Some of us have come to a place of despair, believing that there is no shield to protect us. We are women who've been hurt, betrayed too many times. We're jaded and stop believing that anyone's coming for us. We've become resigned. We've stopped praying. And ladies, if that's you and you've stopped praying or you don't know what to pray anymore, I really encourage you, go to someone that you trust. Go to Leanne, go to Christy, Kelly, and ask them to pray over you. Because I am here to testify that I would not be here if it was not for the prayers of the women. A lot of you are in this room. Friends, family, that prayed prayers over my life when I didn't know what to pray anymore. So we start by getting honest with God, put down our shields of protection, and now it's time to worship. Like the whole book of the Psalms, Psalms of Lament follow a pattern that begin with suffering and end with glory. Usually the Psalms start off on a complaining or negative note, but end on a positive, faith-filled note. Many of us will come to the Lord and we'll pray and we'll ask the Lord for something, telling him something's wrong or we're not okay, and we stop. But no, David and his Psalms show us that we're to give God our guts, our hearts, our shields, and everything that we're carrying and still continue to worship. And sometimes we must again and again worship, reminding our souls of who he is, what he has done, and what he's going to do. And in that, we begin to see who we really are, that we are safe, shielded, loved, and deeply cared for. I love this quote by Pastor Levi Lusco. Worship that hurts like hell heals like heaven. And that God, when it is difficult to raise your arms, when it does not seem like he cares, when it seems that he's only answering other people's requests, in those moments, worship is powerful, and that's when worship matters. We want to be women who know that Jesus is our shield. And a woman who knows that Jesus is her shield, like we've seen David do in the Psalms, realigns her heart in worship. She lowers her shield, her own reliance, her control, her anxieties, her fears, and her circumstances, and submits herself under the better shield of Christ. She hides under the shelter of his wings, and she lifts her head and realigns herself with who Jesus is and who she is because of him. Worship is the great and awesome reminder of the holiness and greatness of Jesus. Remember, a woman who knows that Jesus is her shield, she's not out of the storm, the cave, or the attack of the arrows on her life, but she brings herself to a great realigning, a better line of thought, looking up to the Lord to see what he is doing and what he has under the control. And the arrows of life become much different. She knows he's got her. He can take the weight, so she doesn't have to. And it's what I'm learning to do. My circumstances have not changed much, and I'm not out of this yet. But when I feel anxiety coming, I stop and I ask myself, what am I after right at this moment? Is it security, relief, help? And then I tell Jesus everything, even the ugly, and I sing. And I've had to sing a lot. And in worship, I am reminded of Jesus, how he is the perfect and better shield. He spread his arms on a holy cross to forever shield us from everything we could not carry. He carried it for us. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We're here for you. Father, would you help us see in the ways that we have taken up our own shields? Would you help us to lay them down? Would we be women that are after your heart like David? Would you help us to sit under the beauty of the shield that you've already given us? God, would you be here in this moment with us as we get in our small groups and we share our hearts and our lives with one another? Would you do a beautiful work in our hearts? Thank you for this day, this time that we have together. You're beautiful and worthy of surrender in our worship. Amen.